This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
What's going on? My name is Kevin Deers. This is Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. As you probably know by now, you clicked the link. It is episode number 335. Thanks so much for checking this out. This is with a band called Drain, and I actually interviewed them during a crazy, crazy storm down in the Bay Area. So there were some lagging issues, their video and audio were starting to cut out. So I had to do a little bit of cutting, splicing, and to save this and to edit it down to make it sound really good. But I really appreciate these guys chatting with me. They have a new album called Living Proof that is out on Friday the 5th on Epitaph Records. Their debut on Epitaph, and this band is absolutely killer. If you dig stuff like Suicidal Tendencies, Power Trip, Overkill, you're going to dig this. It's crossover thrash, hardcore music that just like totally rips in the style of like 80s thrash music. They're going to be coming to town at Alma Mater in Tacoma. It's an all-ages show with Out of Pocket, Terena, MS Paint, and Ego Death. That's going down May 25th. That's a Thursday. And again, that's Drain headlining the Living Proof Tour, the Outbreak Tour, Monster Energy Presents Outbreak Tour. And again, tickets are available May 25th, and it's Brainstem Productions. So buy tickets to that and check out the new album, Living Proof. Without any further ado, here's my interview with the guys from Drain. It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. All right, right now I got a band called Drain. They have a new album called Living Proof coming out May 5th on Epitaph Records, which is a wild thing to say. Right now in Santa Cruz, where they live, there's actually quite a storm. There's power outage, which explains why Sammy, vocalist over here, is it looks like he's in a horror movie, scared out of his mind. What's going on, guys?
What's up? What's up? No, I am, dude. I'm horrified, man. No, it's crazy. It's windy, man. Thanks for having us on, though, dude.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. It looks like Blair Witch over there.
Dude, I feel like I've heard that one. That's awesome. Hey, you guys look good.
Yeah.
You guys look awesome, man. What the heck?
Yeah, man. Thank you for having us. Man.
Dude, seriously, thanks man. For having us, though.
Of course. Well, Sammy, let's start with you. So your name, and you're the vocalist, right? And where are you from?
Yes, sir. I'm originally from San Pedro, California, but Santa Cruz has been home for the last 10 years. Yeah.
Right on. And Cody, you're lead guitarist, right?
Yes.
And where
lead
are you?
Guitar. So I was born in Hollister, which where I'm currently living right now.
Okay.
And I grew up in Salinas like most of my whole entire life. So
nice. Right on. And Tim, how about you, man?
Yeah, man. I'm from Santa Barbara originally, and I live in Santa Cruz currently.
Right on, right on. So you guys are a three-piece right now. Are you guys going to be touring as a three-piece, or?
Yeah, I got you. No, okay. Yeah, we've been mainly rocking as a three, but now we like when we write and stuff, but and like you know make like whatever we try to figure out what we're gonna do next and stuff. But now we always rock as a four-piece. We've been a four-piece for like 5 years. We just kind of been getting different friends to come in and fill in on the bass spot. Yeah,
cool, man. Right on. Well, so you guys recorded with Taylor Young, who's an incredible musician, God's Hate, Nails, you know, Disgrace, just so many bands, right? And he has the Pit, but you guys also got to record at Studio 606, which is Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters space, their actual studio. What was that like? Explain to me what it was like to record at, you know, Foo Fighters recording studio.
It was pretty cool, man. I mean,
dude, it was crazy, man. I was like, yeah, I was like, what the heck? I can't believe we're like actually in here.
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah,
I mean,
dude,
we just did drums. So that's
It was nuts, dude. It was crazy. I don't know. It was a huge room, and the drum sounded great. And yeah, it was pretty mind blowing to be in that room. It was cool. It was a pretty rad experience.
You guys, dude,
was it your China, Tim, or your crash that broke? That
oh, it was my China. Yeah, my China. Yeah, it was my China. The China broke after tracking like the first like one or two tracks. I can't remember. And then we had to like just use one of the China symbols that were there. And it had like a little foo written on the inside of it. So I like to assume that it was a Taylor Hawkins China symbol that we used on the record.
Blessing.
I'm sure it was one of like the thousands that he has back there. But still, in my mind, that was his personal one.
R.I.P. man. R.I.P.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, seriously.
You guys released a record, an awesome record on Revelation Records, like right as the pandemic started. And it's such a wild 3 years that we've all lived through. Like coming up here in next month will be 3 years of, you know, since the beginning of the pandemic. So what was that like releasing this record, which I'm sure you worked your asses off on, like one of the biggest hardcore labels of all time, right? At the beginning of the pandemic, tell me where your minds were at and what that was like for you guys.
Dude, it was a trip, man. I mean, I think like, you know, we had like big plans set. Yep. And I'm not sure where it was, you know, what it was like for you guys back home. But for us, it was like, it started as like, hey, we're just doing like a 2 week shutdown.
Yep.
So at first we were pretty optimistic because we had like record release plans and like record release shows already booked. And so we were like really optimistic about it. And then it, you know, once we realized, like, okay, this is not going away anytime soon, you know, we kind of it was a little bit of a bummer, but on the same boat, man. I think our record dropped at like the let's call it the Tiger King era of COVID.
Yep.
When everyone was home watching Tiger King kind of early on, you know. And so I feel like people were all just collectively kind of finding one thing to all, like, you know, separately but like, you know, together sink their teeth into. So whether it's like a TV show, whatever, our record dropped, I think a lot of people listen to it that may just not have if they were working and doing their normal grind. So in a way, I think it really helped us.
And Cody, yeah, you guys want to add to that?
Yeah, I definitely remember being very bummed that we couldn't forward off of it. But yeah, I mean, I agree with Sammy. I mean, I think that it coming out in the pandemic really helped, you know, it getting out there and people like, you know, sitting down and really like listening to it and like soaking it all in and stuff. So, you know, like you said, it was a big bummer, but at the same time, kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time, you know.
How long did it take before you decided to just go in and start writing more material? Did you guys pretty much immediately just start?
I can't remember when we started like officially writing. I don't know. Do you guys happen to remember when, like,
the first,
like,
well, Tim was not living here yet, so it had to have been I had moved back, but Tim wasn't living here yet, so it was still 2020, I think it was still 2020.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so it's still like the summer of 2020, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much immediately right after.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I might be a little bit.
Okay, bad, well, man. let me ask this. So California Curse comes out on Revelation Records, iconic label, and then your new album is coming out on Epitaph, which is the biggest independent record label in the world, as far as like the highest selling independent record label in the world. How did you guys, you know, get the conversation going with Epitaph? Did they approach you guys? What was that?
Yeah, what was that?
I'm finding my dogs.
Okay.
To my knowledge, Epitaph just reached out to us, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. Because they reached out really, like, within the first week that the California Curse came out. So I think they just caught wind of it and were, like, pretty interested in, like, getting something going with us. And, yeah, we were, like, pretty gung-ho on, like, we're like, shoot, we really want to give this record that we worked so hard on, like, a proper tour cycle, you know? So it might just be a little bit, but they were really cool about that. And we just stayed in touch. And it was kind of like, as soon as they reached out, I think, you know, we were all like, well, I mean, that's the biggest that we could go. That's like the one, you know what I mean? So it's just like, okay, if they're interested, let's do it. And, you know, I think, yeah, like I said, once we realized we weren't going to be hitting the road, like, anytime soon, we started writing, you know? And we kind of took our time, but, I think it'll show in the final product. We just didn't rush it, really.
If Punk-O-Rama samplers were still a thing, you guys would be right next to NOFX and Lagwagon and you know what I mean, and No Use for a Name and what there's so many iconic bands on Epitaph Records, man. I mean, Offspring, Rancid, NOFX. You know, was Epitaph a big part of your guys' childhoods, like growing up and getting into music?
Like, not a whole lot for me.
Yeah, for sure.
But like a little bit.
Definitely like Offspring, just music that I was like into before, just from hearing on the radio, before I even like really found music, like in the way I know, I like grew to know it, you know. It's just like, I think just hearing those songs on the radio, hearing Pennywise, you know, like on the radio growing up, it's like, I don't know, it's a trip, you know. I don't even know what this song's called, but I really like it, and end up being like, bro, him, you know, I just didn't know what it was called. Yes. Like hearing on the radio, and it's like, to be on the same label as them is just surreal.
During the pandemic, you know, you're recording this album and you're writing this album and then recording it with Taylor Young. If you're having like a crappy day and you know, you're just feeling down, what's an album that you can go to kind of bring you into a good mindset, whether it's an aggressive album to get your anger out or a positive album to smile, make you smile? What's an album you can reach for? Cody, let's start with you, man.
Man, I don't know, maybe somewhere on like the hip-hop route, like maybe something like from the night, some like old school hip-hop, maybe like Craig Mack's like the Project Funk the World or something.
Okay.
That's always been a classic for me since a kid. Yeah, that was the first thing that came to mind, but there's definitely a few for sure, but that's one of them.
Awesome. And Tim, what about you, man?
Dude, that's a good question. Probably for me, like probably like Enema of the State by Blink, or like the self-titled Third Eye Blind album, like,
okay, yeah,
like record, like CDs that I like grew up listening to, usually cheer me up.
And Sammy, how about you, man?
Dude's music cheer me up, man. I'm so basic, man. I'll probably throw on like just like Beach Boys greatest hits.
Okay,
that's my jam. I mean Pet Sounds always rocks too, like whatever I think it's called, Endless Summer, is like the full compilation.
Yep.
Dude, I'll just throw that on. It's like a dual disc. I'll just jam that. It's just got everything.
There you go, man. Surfing USA. Are you guys surfers?
You know, I feel like $1 million when I listen to that.
That's sick.
Do you guys surf or skate?
So I just surfed for the first time the other day, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Sammy, do you surf or skate?
I do a little bit of both. I grew up skating, so that was like my first one. I'm like a lot better at that. But like in the last couple of years, I did start to learn to surf. I'm by no means good, but I really do enjoy it.
Sure.
It's really fun. Yeah, I love it.
Sorry, okay. I'm not. I don't skate or surf. I wish, dude. I was never any good.
Fair enough.
Damn.
So this with this album coming out May 5th, are you guys going to be pretty much touring nonstop? Are you guys going to be going out on the road hitting hard?
Yeah, definitely. We'll definitely be doing a tour in support of the album for the summertime for sure.
Awesome.
But of course nothing's announced yet, but for sure.
Yeah, man, we're going to be getting after it, trying our best, making up for the last time we didn't get to for the last record. So, absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, we're really excited about all of it.
Hell yeah. I talked to a lot of different bands. I talked to, big bands, I talked to like a Megadeth, for example, and we all know that they do music full time, but then bands that are, just getting started or on, or early stages or just kind of play, like you, for instance, you just signed to Epitaph Records. You're probably in that in-between part. Do you guys have normal day jobs? Have you guys been able to quit your jobs and pursue music full time, or are you working the normie job like I have to?
Dude, I'm kind of in between. I'm in like the middle ground right now.
Okay.
Luckily I got a really cool situation. You know what I mean? I work for my buddy Cole, who owns a screen printing shop called Printhead.
Awesome.
And we played some bands together and stuff over the years. So
yeah, cool, right?
We pretty much, yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. So we pretty much print for, we do most of the Drain merch, Tsunami, Scowl, Spy, a bunch of bands in the Bay Area. We'll print all of our merch. And so I'm in a very lucky spot where I kind of get to come in when I need to and then be gone when I need to. So I'm real lucky, but yeah, I'm kind of in the hybrid spot right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tim. Yep.
No, sorry. I work full time. Yeah. I work as like a production coffee roaster for a local coffee company.
Awesome.
So yeah, I work full time.
And Cody, how about you, man?
Yeah, I definitely do not work really at all.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I was working at this coffee shop here in Holster called Calavera Coffee. I was working there for maybe like a year and a half, and then I kind of stopped working there like last summer or something. But every once in a while, they'll have me come in and like, oh, they need me for a shift or something. But it's very like few and far between. So I'm mostly not working.
Okay. Full-time master.
Hell yeah. Yep.
That's awesome.
The dream.
Awesome, guys. Well, one thing, I am curious about and just a couple more fun questions here, before we get going. We all know, killer shows we all like to brag about. Yeah, I'm sure you guys when I say best show you've ever played, you have one in mind. But what's the worst show you've ever played?
Oh, this is the funner one for sure.
Yeah, this is definitely the more fun.
There's a lot for sure.
Does someone want to go first? Because I kind of have a couple in mind, but
yeah, I mean the thing is, for those listening, Drain's pretty much only played good shows always. Oh. And, I don't want it to ever, be known otherwise. No, I'm kidding. Dude, we've just recently probably evened out the ratio of good to bad shows in our, 9-year career, which is crazy. I think I always go back to like worst, but tried to make it best. I'll always bring this back. When was it was our first time in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Okay.
I knew you were gonna bring that one up.
This is my favorite. This is my favorite one, dude. We go through and it's a little bit of a story, but we go through and it was us and we were opening for this band called Rhythm of Fear. And I don't think either of us were like particularly big bands, but it was also like late January. So it's just like the dead center of winter. You know what I mean? Just like so cold. And it was like a weeknight and we played the spot. And anyways, it was like ice, like leading up to like, you're carrying the gear up the sidewalk and slipping. And we get inside. There's like no one there, whatever. Nor do I really expect it. We're a small band. But I'm in the bathroom and this guy rolls up to me and he's like, hey, he's like, you with the band? And I was like, yeah, what's up? He's like, dude, tonight's normally open mic night, but they canceled it because of your show. So what's up? And I was just like, oh my God. Like, I don't even know what he wants. He's like, what's up? You going to let me rock with you guys or what? I'll do whatever. And I'm like, dude, like what you like, can you, what do you do? He's like, I'll rap. I'll yell. I'll do whatever. I was like, all right, sick. Yes. We're going to do it. And so we, like, you know, in the middle of the set, whatever, there's maybe like five, I don't know, maybe 10 kids there, I think. Maybe, like, that's being really generous, including the staff. We let this dude come on stage and just like tried to like play a rap song, like dude just played a beat, and Cody kind of like bam bam, you know, like,
it's like a little melody.
I tried to hype it up. I'm trying to hype it up, and it's just not. He can't get started, and we're just like, all right, we gotta pull the plug. It's been like 45 seconds of trying to make this happen. So he's like getting mad at me. He's like, come on, keep playing. Like, all right, we're done, back to schedule program.
Yep.
I'm having fun with it, but yeah, what do you guys think?
That's when you have to bust out an E-Town Concrete riff and have him rap over that, you know. So what about
honestly,
you
guys? Honestly, that show, that reminded me of that part in 8 Mile where Eminem choked like the first time, you know, like that was Big KB when he choked. Like, it was just I was playing the beat, just like dan dan, he's just like
yeah, he froze, dude. He had a shot and he blew it.
That's crazy, man.
Tim or Cody, either of you guys have something else in mind?
I mean, that was definitely on my list for sure. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, I know we definitely played a show in like South Carolina. It was nothing really like exciting, like you know, the show that Sam just mentioned, but it was just, you know, just one of those shows where it's like it took us like 3 days to get there because we like traveled all across the, you know, to get there, and it was like 3 days of traveling before that, and then we played the show. We're already shot to begin with. Mm-hmm. The show shot probably played to like two people, you know what I mean? But that's, I'll never forget that. I'm just like, damn, like it was like a really rough start to the tour. I was like, damn, there's like no one here, and we feel shot, like we're, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's eating the shit like that makes you appreciate when you have killer shows, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think we played exclusively bad shows for the first like what, 4 or 5 years as a band. I mean, it has not been until more recently where it's been like, you know, the shows have been a lot better. But I mean, there's like so many. Like, I can't even like think of a specific one. On that same tour of the show in Worcester, like the last show of the tour, I think, was in Memphis, Tennessee. And like, I from what I remember, there was like maybe two people there. Like, I if that, like, and I'm exaggerating, but I remember it as being two people there. We like got carrots that I used as drumsticks because I was like, dude, no one's watching. Like, no one cares. But it was like, we make the best of it. We have fun. Totally. But it was like, from what I remember, I think there was like two, three people paid or something like that. It was pretty insane.
Well, luckily, you know, the shows are a lot better these days. Again, the album's coming out May 5th on Epitaph. My last question for you guys, and we'll start with you, Cody. Pick a scar on your body. Show us if you can, but at least tell us the story of how you got it.
A scar? Well, I may or may not have it. It's like, it's kind of right here. I don't know if you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it right here. But when I was like 20, it's funny because I was just telling this story the other day.
Okay.
But when I was 20, I was at my friend's house. I was super drunk. We were going to go do like a beer run. In order to do the beer run, I had to get on the Razor scooter.
Okay.
You know, and the liquor store that we were going to, they definitely served alcohol to me, even though I was underage. But I went there what's that?
You were underage and riding to them on a Razor scooter. So yeah.
Yeah. So I'm on a Razor. It's all bad. I'm on a Razor scooter. And then the wheel hits like a rock or something. I go flying face first into like a fire hydrant. And you know how it kind of sticks out like the little bolt part, on the side, the bolt part like hit me right here. I get up, I go into the liquor store. I'm all like dazed, whatever. I notice the lady's kind of looking at me and I'm like, why the was she like staring at me? It was kind of weird, you know. I walk out and then my homie's like, dude, like you're bleeding everywhere. And it was coming down. And I'm pretty sure I had like somewhat of a concussion because I go back to the party, I'm trying to play beer pong, I can't focus and everything. My friend made me sit down and stuff like that. And yeah, so I can feel it. You can't really like see it though, but it was definitely right here for sure. So
dude, that's like inches away from blinding you permanently.
Yeah, pretty crazy, right? It's like, you know, you look back at those times, you're like, damn, I was young and stupid, and I will never, ever do that again.
You got the beer.
I did. I definitely did, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim, how about you, man?
I'm trying to think. Nothing like super visual. I remember when I was like in grade school, I had like my mom was like cutting my hair and she like sliced like my earlobe or like the like right behind my earlobe, and I started like bleeding a lot and I was crying, I'm sure. And like I was and like every once in a while it'll still kind of like act up, like it'll still like kind of hurt, and I always just kind of blame that incident. I don't know. That's like the closest thing I can think of. Not that exciting.
Damn it, mom.
Yeah.
Sammy, how about you, man?
Dude, can you guys hear me okay? Am I yeah. still in and out?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Totally, dude. Yo, that's actually crazy. I literally was just telling someone the story today. But to my favorite, dude. So like I said, Drake's been a band for a long time. Like when these guys first started jamming, you know, there was like initially there's a different kid who was singing at first. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it just didn't really work out. Like I think they had it for like a show or something. But I was at an early Drain show just in the crowd. And I say early Drain show, like that sounds way cooler than it was. Just like us in they were playing in some kid's living room, and I went and I can't even say we were moshing. No one was really pitting like hard or like dancing.
Yeah.
We were just like pushing each other. And this kid fell and hit like he like knocked his head into my forehead. So I think it was this one.
Damn.
I did this one though. One of these ones, anyways, I got like I split my my language. I split my eyebrow like wide open, and I was like, kind of bleeding a lot. And I like it was like during their second song, so I was like I thought it'd be like, cool to stay. I was like, yeah, let's like stay and like whatever. And I was all hyped, but yeah, I had to go get like 11 stitches like on my eyebrow, and luckily like kind of blends in. It's like right behind my eyebrow, so you don't really notice. But I get all stoked. I'm like, heck yeah! I was like, I got injured at the Drain show. Now I'm in the band. What's
now you're
up?
In the band. Now plenty of other people yeah, are probably being injured. So I dig it.
Yeah, me and the other four guys that were there, I for sure got the most hurt. But they were close contenders. They were close contenders, man. I had to fight for that spot.
Nice.
That's a sick question. I like that.
Hell yeah. That's a question I ask every single artist. I do interviews for a wrestling company up here in Seattle, and they always tend to have really interesting scar stories. So definitely, I appreciate you guys indulging my weird questions. Again, Living Proof is coming out May 5th on Epitaph Records. Really crazy to say that. You can pre-order the record. Any final words for Seattle and the Northwest before we let you guys go?
Yeah, dude. Soon. Yo, I'm sorry we haven't come. We'll be seeing you soon. I'm sorry it's taken us so long. We haven't been up there since pre-COVID. Just haven't made it work out yet. But we're gonna be changing that real soon.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you for having us. Thank you, everyone. Shout out Cafe Vita in Seattle.
Yes. Good shot, man. Right on.
Yeah.
All right,
yes,
guys.
Sir. We'll see you guys soon for sure.
That's sick.
Pick up the new Drain record.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks later. For having us, bro.
Yep. Good luck with the storm, man.
Thanks, bro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy. StreetEasy has the local expertise you need
to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.